The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
A lot of you have known and heard of Doug Stanton around the area for about 21 years. Put your hand up if you've never heard of him before. Doug Stanton. Okay, so there's a few folks. But as a rule, most people have probably heard Doug speak. They've been in revival meetings over the last 21 years in this town or different parts of the Twin Cities. Is that all right? You're hearing? That's
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Thanks. And, there's some pretty big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, oh, yeah, you know. And they sometimes expect me to get up and be Doug. Well, I'm not Doug. I'm Karen.
Come on.
I've got a different voice. I'm going to say it a different way. Probably going to be a bit funnier than him, maybe. Maybe not quite as serious. But I'm not him, I'm me.
Yeah.
And that's right, you know. When I first sort of would get up and start preaching, as you say, it's big shoes to fill, and you can feel like you're in the shadow a bit. It's like, you know what, I do have the same. We were... When we first got together, Doug had already been in the ministry for 10 years before, you know, we got married. And so I was sort of a little bit behind there. Had a bit of catching up. But over the last 30 years, we've ministered together. I haven't always been preaching. I've quite often been up leading worship or something. And we were in a different season of our lives then.
Yes, yeah.
And when you're a person that is called to build revival and to understand revival and to bring revival to a town, to a community or whatever, a state, it's very specific. And so it wasn't always the time and place for me to hop up and share something, because it just wasn't that time. But I've noticed even in the time, the last 2 years, we've moved from here. We now live down in Alabama, sweet home Alabama, y'all. And you know, it's been a really different season. I sort of shared a little bit, jumped up the other night and shared a little bit that it's been a different season for us. And it's been a shift for us as a couple, for us in ministry. And even 2 years before we moved away from Minnesota, God started speaking to us and saying, a time's coming where it's going to be different. I'm doing a new thing in you guys. It's a new time. It's, you know, that season in Minnesota is over. And, you know, as you step into the next season, it's not going to look the same as what it did the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've really wanted to backpedal a little bit, and it's been really cool to be able to do that out on a ranch, you know, on the four-wheelers or out shooting or whatever, but just take a, you know, backpedal a little bit and just say, God, and realize that he was preparing us in this season now for what's up ahead.
Yeah.
And remolding us and reshaping us. And I would want to say... I wouldn't say scared. We haven't been scared to step out into the new thing, but we've been a little tentative to just want to step into the next season because we don't know what that looks like yet. We don't know completely what he has up ahead for us, and we don't want to run ahead with the things that we've done and said and been in the past because it's a new day. There's a new voice, and I'm probably in the Pastor Dave said, you know, there's things that that I can say and explain that Doug can't say and explain, and vice versa.
Right.
And so it's sort of been cool, and it's been interesting for Doug to, because God said to him, you know, get her up. And sometimes he'll just forget because he's so used to just jumping up. I'll be sitting in the front row and I'm like, hey, tag team. And off you go and switch it up. It's sort of been fun. But anyway, just sort of saying all that so you can get used to my accent for those that haven't heard me speak before. Just so you can get me, you can see what I got on and everything. Get used to all that. And then we can get on with it, okay? You know, isn't that the truth, though? Sometimes we're distracted by everything else and you don't quite hear what I'm saying. Because you're sort of watching, oh, what, how's she got her hair today? What are those boots she's got on? Whatever. You know? The things of the natural versus the things of the spirit.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been talking about the last few nights is, you know, the things of the spirit, being able to live in the spirit. This is my way of explaining it. But it's pretty exciting this day and times.
Yeah.
And us as Christians, we have the opportunity to be able to really stand up and shine in this world today, because this world needs, as you're talking about, that's just, oh, I don't want to even think about it right now because I have to stay focused on what God's given me to say, but it's just heartbreaking to think about what is happening over there. And we, even more so, how important it is for us as Christians to stand up and shine our light and to be who God has called us to be in this world at this time right now. And, you know, the world is different than what it was 21 years ago. It's different. You know, it seems like evil is more, even more evil than what it ever was before. You know, the things that are happening with terrorism and stuff like that, I mean, it's just so rampant everywhere. And you know, a lot of it's because the body isn't standing up and being who it's called to be. And God has called us to a certain standard, and he's given us his life. And so often, we choose not to live it. We choose not to let it become us. It's like this. It's like a cloak that we put on. Our Christianity. I'm going to church. Better put my Christian cloak on today. I'm sporting my Christian cloak right now. Isn't it lovely? In church, yes, do the right thing. Raise your hands, dance a bit. Okay, church is done. All right. Woo, here we are the rest of the week. How many people throw off their Christianity like that and just forget about it for the whole week? And on Sunday, come and just put it back on like just something you can take on and off like that. Well, you know, he's called us to be, to go deeper, to be deeper.
Yes.
So much more. There's so much more. And you know, this time down here on earth, right now, is the time that we have to prepare ourselves for eternity. Eternity is a really, really long time, if you haven't noticed. A really long time. And you know, I don't want to get up there and be found wanting in any way. I want to have taken the time and made a decision right here and right now to be all I can be in him and him living through me, so that when I get up there, he will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. You know, rather than just being someone that's just put this on Sundays, just worn it like a bit of a badge. You know, that's so easy just to throw off when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
He wants to live in us. He wants to live through us.
Yes.
He wants to be this. When we receive Christ into our life, actually, Doug gave this example with a jacket the other night, and he put it on. When we receive Christ, we put on Christ. But it's not something that we just put on. It's like a marination that happens. And we put on Christ. And from the outside to the inside, it starts marinating. And marinating and just becoming. It works on us. It works on us. It works on us. So that from the outside to the inside, that we become Christ. We become Him on this earth.
Yes.
That our actions, that our words that we speak are Christ and no longer of us, but of Him. And that we can wear this proudly because it's Christ. It's not something that we throw off through the week.
Yeah.
It's who we are now.
Yeah.
And Doug used to give the example all the time of being pickled. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Being pickled.
Uh-huh.
And he'd give the example and he'd say, okay, think of a pickle. Now, what does a pickle start off as? It starts off as a cucumber, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Starts off as a cucumber, and then you put it in the pickle juice. But if you just pull that pickle out, you can easily suck the pickle juice off and you just got a cucumber again.
Yeah.
But if you put that cucumber back in the pickle juice and let it sit in there, for a period of time, let it marinate. Let that pickle juice get into that pickle. All of a sudden, the pickle no longer liveth. It's changed by the pickle juice that it's been put into. And it's no longer a pickle, it's no longer a cucumber, rather. The cucumber no longer liveth. It becomes a pickle. And that's the same as this. Jesus, He wants us to become Him,
yes.
Like Him on this earth, speak like Him, live like Him, act like Him, represent Him, so that when we do get to heaven on our final days, that we've got something to bring to Him. We're just not like, here I am in heaven, here I am to save the day. And we come up there and we've got nothing to bring.
Yeah.
You know, He wants to get Jesus back. He's sowing Jesus into us now, as much as we allow Him to.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the key, isn't it? As much as we allow Him to sow Jesus into us is what He'll get back when we get up there. Well, I for one know that everything and anything that I can do on this earth now to prepare for eternity, I want to get that done. Get her done. As I've learnt to say in Alabama, get her done. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, you can look at people coming into church and you can look at them a certain way and think, oh, well, they're this sort of Christian or that sort of Christian. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between people because they're really good actors. But you know yourself. You know yourself what sort of a Christian you really are. And you don't fool God. Not for one minute. You might fool people, but you're not fooling God. You know, and that's in the good and the bad. We fool ourselves sometimes. You know, we're responsible now to get this right.
Good word.
I don't want to try and fool myself. It's too important.
Yeah.
It's too important. Like, as Doug said last night, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we're the ones here that are the salt of the earth, that are to bring life and to bring Christ into the earth right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read this. Don't turn to it. They'll probably put it up on the screen. It's 2 Corinthians 5. Just listen to this and we'll sort of... is that the right time up there?
It's an hour off.
So that's 11 o'clock now?
Yep.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us, I like that word, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. Whether good or bad. Okay, that's part of what it's about being down here. And when I first got saved, I used to say, well, what's it all about? Like, we just say, Jesus, come into my heart, and that's it. And I'm a Christian, and I go to heaven. So, so much more. Yeah. He wants to renew us. He wants us to be clothed in Him, so that we no longer liveth, but that He lives in us and through us. That the word we speak will be His words. Yeah, okay, so how do we sort of do this real practically then? How do we do that, Lord? What does that look like? How do I let You live through me every day? First of all, it's being aware of Him.
Yeah.
Being aware of Him. You get up in the morning, your first thought, Lord, what do You want me to do today? What person do You have for me to speak to today? What's this day about? Is there something You'll have me do?
Amen.
You know, just being aware of Him. And then also being aware of who He's creating you to be. You know, I know for me personally, it was pretty intimidating when I first got saved, because I don't know how many of you have heard any of my testimony at all, but I went through heartbreak and was pretty desperate and got saved and started going to this church that I'd been brought up in, the Presbyterian church. And, you know, the service was, we were in and out without in an hour. And then we could go and sort of, you know. And that's pretty much what it was like. And I'm not speaking against that. I'm just saying me personally, that was me. I never learnt about Christ there. I never learnt that I could be born again. I never learnt the things of the Spirit. So to me, that's what it was, something that You threw off. You know, but then when the wheels fell off on my life and I started really seeking God and saying, there's got to be more to this life than just, you know, an hour on Sundays. So many people, that's their only experience with God in a whole week, is coming to church for an hour on Sunday. And that's it. They don't even think about it the rest of the week. That's so sad. So I went into this church and I could see there was life. I could see it was different. The Spirit was moving. It was weird. People speaking in this weird language and I'm like, what the heck? And they're jumping around and raising their arms. I'd never seen that before. It's like, But as weird as it seemed, I knew that something was real. I knew that they had something that I didn't have, and I wanted that. So I kept going along, and, you know, there was three pastors there at the time, all very powerful men of God. And after about a month, one day I just went down and I thought, this is it, I'm going to do this. I walked down the front and just gave my life to the Lord. Well, you know, that was the change of everything. But it also started my journey on understanding the things that I'm speaking about today. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. And some people are a bit thicker than others to get this through, so it takes a little bit longer. But then I, you know, had met this pretty cool guy at this church. He happened to be one of the pastors there. And he's me straight out of the world. Pretty raw, pretty rough, fight, swear, party, everything, and go in and there's this godly man there that's one of the pastors. And I used to look up at these pastors and just think, wow, they're just the closest thing to God that I could ever imagine. I would never have thought of marrying one, ever, ever. God almost had to trick me into that. But he had a plan for my life. And I didn't know it, and I'm glad I didn't, because I probably would have run a mile. But he had a plan, and so we eventually met. And, you know, Doug had already been pastoring for 10 years when we met. And everyone said, oh, you're not suited, you know, she's not saved. She's barely saved. And you're going to marry her, and you're a pastor, and you can preach, and you're this wonderful man of God, and she's just, whatever she is. And they said, she'll ruin your ministry. She'll ruin your ministry. And I'm like, will I? I can laugh about this stuff now, because it's like we've been married like 30 years and we're both different people today. Yeah. We're both very different people. And God grabbed hold of me and started to change me. But I had to want to let him. And it took, you know, we quite often will share about our marriage, and that the first year of our marriage was like hell on earth. It was rough, man. It was rough. We fought, and he's there for, okay, cop this. For our honeymoon, we pioneered a church. Literally, for our honeymoon, we moved to a different town and we pioneered a church. And that was our honeymoon. Well, I wasn't quite ready for that. As I said, I was still being saved.
Yeah.
It was still outworking in me.
Yeah.
I had put and made the decision to put Jesus on the outside. But I was no way near marinated yet. My cucumber was not pickled. And so we went into this next season, and you know, we both share about this, is that it was quite the journey that first year, because I was still fighting with everything on the inside of me that I hadn't given over to God yet. The abuses of my life, the anger that I had inside. As a young girl of 14, I was raped, and then later on in time, had a boyfriend that was abusive, that used to bash me. And I had become stoic. I actually didn't feel the pain anymore. Yeah. I just didn't feel it. I'd switched something off on the inside as a coping mechanism to be able to deal with life. And so I had issues. I had issues. And I needed to work through these, you know. And that's really fun when you're in a fishbowl and you're the pastor's wife and you've got issues.
Yeah.
And everybody's watching you. It was fun, I tell you. But yeah, the first few days, some of these ladies come in. I still had the stench of the world on me, because I was just only just saved. And I'm the pastor's wife. Go figure. Don't put expectations on your pastor's wife. They're just up to where they're up to. And God's doing a work on them, and you trust that, okay? I was not there. I was young. I was only in my early 20s. And all these old ladies come in with their blue hair, you know, the blue rinse ladies. And they'd come in and they'd say, you know, you really shouldn't dress like that. That's very disgraceful to dress like that in church. That's not what a pastor's wife should look like. Your nails, they're way too long. You need to chop those off. Your speech. You need to change this. You need to change that. This. And I'm standing there, I'm like, do you want me to dress like you? Like, have you looked at yourself in the mirror lately? You're like old with blue hair. And I'm like, what was I, 22, 23? I'm like, I'm not going to dress like that. I'm just telling you right now. And, you know, they sort of started saying, oh, but dearie, it's just not becoming for a pastor's wife to be this and to be that. And I'm like, you know what? You can just... And I said it. I said where to go. I just told them, and they're like... The pastor's wife just told me to... off. And I'm like, so they went, and a few weeks after that, Doug said to me, whatever happened to Sister so-and-so and Sister so-and-so? And I'm like, oh, I had a bit of a misunderstanding with them. He said, well, where'd they go? I sort of told them off. Well, where'd they go? I'm like, I suppose they went. That's not really how to handle things like that. But I was still learning to let Christ live through me. And not to let the first thing that come to my head come out my mouth. Yeah, sometimes you can think something, but you don't always have to say it. But, you know, as Christ forms in you, you tend to find that you don't even think it anymore.
Yeah.
That's good. And so you don't say it, you don't have to, because it doesn't even come up into here. It's the things that we really focus on and let become who we are that start to come out of your mouth. You know a person by their fruit. The way that someone speaks, the way that someone interacts with you is what's on the inside of that person. And as I said before, we can fool each other, we can even fool ourselves, but we're not going to be able to fool God. And I know for me, my journey of allowing Christ to be formed in me and to be able to come out of me was a real interesting one, being a very public one in front of the whole world to see. And it's lucky I've got a tough skin. But it probably helped me get a tough skin, because I needed to have a tough skin for what he had ahead for us in the future. And, you know, one of the things on a real practical note that I really had to deal with because of the things that I went through as a young girl was I had a serious problem with anger. A serious. Put your hand up if you've ever been angry. Okay, so I'm not alone. Put your hand up if you'd say you'd have a bit of a problem with anger. Okay, so I'm not alone. So if I share this little testimony, I've still got time to do that. It might help you a little bit. So as I said before, I didn't start off an angry person when I was young, when I was a young girl. And this is all relevant to what I'm sharing with this morning. I didn't start off that way, but through relationships and through the things of life, the things that we go through as people, you know, never judge somebody for the things that they are. You don't know the journey that they've travelled. You don't know the things that they've gone through in their life to become the person that they are, whether that's good or bad. Never judge someone else. But so I had this anger problem. It was literally bashed into me. Can I say it that way? I wasn't an angry person, but if you have that bashed into you enough, you can take on who somebody else is. I'll say it that way. And I partook of that anger from somebody else, and it started to become who I was. Now, you know, even then I got saved and everything, but I found, even though I was saved, my spirit was washed clean, there were things that were intertwined in my soul that God still had to get in and help pull out.
That's right.
You know, you can be saved and still deal with some of this stuff. Let's be real about it.
True.
Let's be real about it. So I'd find myself getting angry, telling off old ladies in the church and different things like that. I would find even with my kids, and, you know, I just thank God they turned out as good as they did. But it wasn't pretty sometimes. I'd lose it with my kids. And I'd find myself, you know, just getting, wanting to get physical with them. And, you know, the anger that was belted into me would sometimes come out, and I'd grab my kids and just feel like ripping them apart. At that point, I'd just have to walk away. Because it was real. And, you know, the things that affected me at those times, and then you put a spiritual man next to you that's always stirring the spiritual things up on the inside of you, like where you start manifesting, if you know what that word is. And come back with a wise answer of the spirit. I'm like, shut up! Shut up! La, 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 la. I don't want to hear it right now. Can't you see I'm angry? Can't you see I'm manifesting right now? Don't be spiritual to me right now. It's not the right time. And you know what? It was hard sometimes. But it come to this. I'm just looking at the clock, so I need to just wind this up a bit. It came to this, that I had to make a decision for myself that Jesus could marinate me all the way through. That anger was not a fruit of the Spirit. It was something that had robbed me for way too long.
That's right.
And I could make a decision to allow that to continue to rob me and who God wanted me to be today. I could make a decision to let that have its way in me, or I could make a decision to say, enough. I no longer want to be taunted with this anger that was bashed into me as a young person. I want your victory in my life, Lord Jesus. Marinate me. And so, you know what? Doug and I, we talked about these things. And I always used to find every Saturday night, right before he had to get up and preach on a Sunday morning and be spiritual man. Sure as eggs. Saturday night, I'd come out of fighting. And the spiritual things, you know, were just there to rob him. They were there to rob me. They were there to rob the church.
Yes.
We started to recognize a pattern of this. And it's like, you know what? We need to get on top of this. And he was ready to, he says, I accounted to my wife the fact that I know, that I learned to preach without notes. He said, every Saturday night, I sat in my office and wrote my resignation letter. And he said, yeah, I'd get there and I'd sort of get over stuff pretty quick and just give it to God and that. And I'd get up and I'd be up worship leading and just having a great old time with God. And he's there ready to resign every Sunday morning. And all of a sudden he thought, oh, I haven't got a message. And so he learned to preach inspirationally that way. So all of a sudden he'd look at me and he thought, she's not too bad. I think I'll keep her. And he'd think, oh, I've got to preach. So he'd get up and preach. But, you know, it was making a decision that we were going to deal with the anger. Anger's just one thing. There's other things that we could talk about today, but we don't because of time. There's fear and there's loneliness and there's all the other things that aren't the fruits of the Spirit, by the way.
Yeah.
Aren't the fruits of the Spirit. And so we'd fight, and in the midst of... Have you ever tried when you're in the middle with fighting with someone to actually be nice to that person? And just actually learning to zip it? Right in the middle of that. Well, God said to me, zip it. Zip it. And so I'd start to feel these angry things. And the crazy thing was, and I started to see a pattern. Doug would do something. He'd come in and had a great day, and he'd come in, and he'd do the smallest thing, like he'd put something in the wrong spot or something. And I'd be like, why did he put that there? You know, this is just a dumb example. But you know the stupid little things? Who left their undies on the floor? Who didn't hang the towel up? Oh, come on. Who didn't wipe the kitchen bench down? The stupid little things, the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Good.
You know, and he'd do something, and it really was nothing to fight about. But the things in me, the weapons that were formed against me, that had been formed in there, were not really against him.
That's right.
They were probably against someone else in my past. But every time he'd do something, I would get so angry, and it was nothing to get angry about. You're looking in like a fly, it was just so stupid. So utterly stupid, but you'd get angry about it. And react, and he'd be thinking, what'd I do? And I'd be so angry. The next minute he'd say something spiritual, and that would drive me nuts. And then I'd get even more angry. And next minute I'd get that angry, I'd literally feel like picking a chair up and just smashing him over the head with it. Come on, who's ever felt that way before?
Yeah?
Yeah, it's
you know what?
Yeah.
That's how you'd end up feeling.
Yeah.
And for maybe one other day, I've got a testimony where with that boyfriend that used to bash me all the time, I actually took a gun to him one time and did a drive-by and thought I'd shot the guy. That's the sort of anger that I'm talking about right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about the sort of anger that can wind you up in jail. I don't believe I had murder in my heart, but, you know, if you look at someone with hatred, you're a murderer.
Yes. Yeah.
If you look at someone with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer.
Yeah.
Which any one of these could we all point the finger at each other?
Right.
Who's ever hated somebody? You know, I thought, oh, I'm no murderer, but that's how people end up in jail. These things that are inside them, they stir you up. And, you know, time and time again, I look at times where I could have easily done something to Doug and he didn't deserve anything. Pardon me. He just walked in innocently and the things that were inside of me. So we made a decision that we had to deal with it. And so, you know, I'd start to feel the anger rising up inside of me. And you know, who knows that when you're angry, that it takes over your whole body. You tense up, your face gets angry, your voice gets angry, You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, this is not some little thing here. It takes over your whole body. And so, you know, I made a decision. I thought, you know, God, I really need your help with this. I need to be marinated with you. I need your spirit, Lord. And so this is just a practical example. We'd be there together and we'd talked about this beforehand and I'd said, look, I need your help. You're a spiritual man. I need to start to get this. If we start to get angry with each other, can you please, if you hear me say, just hug me. Don't talk to me at that point. I just simply need you to hug me. What's the opposite to anger?
Love.
It's love. And right at that point, I didn't need him to talk. I just needed him to love me. Because I was on the inside fighting to get out. And I thought, I'm an overcomer. I've got the Spirit of God marinating me every day. And I want this to be real. This has to be real. This is one example. And so in the midst of the anger, and I'd be angry like this, and I'd be even yelling sometimes, and it'd be really attractive, and I'd say, just hug me. How attractive is that, man? But because he is a spiritual man, he would come to me, and he would zip it. And he would just hold me. And at that point, he said he would look down and he said, I was like hugging a barbed wire fence. That's what it felt like. But he put his arms around him. He said all of a sudden that he'd just feel me soften. And he said he'd look down and someone that was stoic, that wouldn't cry, that wouldn't feel, a tear would force out of my eye and he would knew that we'd won another victory. Amen? That's just one little example of living in the Spirit. This is what it's about, people. We're not here to live for ourselves. We're not here to let our anger control our life. We're here to let the Spirit of God live through us. Speak through us, love through us, accept through us, be us. Lord, have your way in me. Don't just let it be nice words. Let him have all of you. Let him marinate you so much that it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that lives in you. And people look at you and all they see is Christ. And when you speak, all they hear is Christ. And when you're led by His Spirit, not by something that's angry, something that's of your past, something that's not going to be treasure for you in heaven. Because that's what it's about. Now is the time, right now, that we need to prepare ourselves for eternity. You can wear it like something that doesn't matter, or you can let it marinate you and become who you are. Lord, that's my prayer this morning. Father, right now, I just pray that these words have been spirit and life this morning to these beautiful people. Father, that you marinate us. That Christ is not something that we just throw off. Lord, that we start to get this. That it's no longer us that live, Lord, and the parts that we're hanging on to. Lord, for goodness sake, let us see them and release them to you once and for all. We choose, Lord Jesus, as your people this morning to give those things that are of no worth to you, Lord, so that we can be filled up here on earth, so that when we go to be with you forever, we're taking something up there with us. Fill us now, Lord Jesus, with your presence, with your spirit, Father. Father, work on those things. Show us, open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to the things that hold us back on this earth. We don't want them anymore, Lord. Father, we don't want them anymore. Show us, Lord, open our eyes, and then let us give them to you, Lord. Whatever they are, Father, the anger, the fear, the rejection, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, Lord, it's not optional. Father, we choose to give it to you. We don't want to be held back, Lord. It's a day that we need to be on the ball. We need to be vibrant. We need to be on fire. We need to be lights on this earth, Lord Jesus, to shine you, Father. Oh, we love you, Lord. Father, have your way in our lives. This is our simple prayer.
Yeah, we agree.
And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor David.